here. Let the ends of the earth hear, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Thank you, Lord, that you answer prayers and that, Lord, you are with us this morning. And even as we sit at your feet, oh God, that, Lord, you preserve us. Lord, you speak to us in a language that we understand, to the praise and glory of your holy name. We thank you and we honor you, God. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding to your goodness and to your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Good to have you. And may your name, God's name, be praised. Yeah, so we carry on and we continue with our Bible study. We are in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today, by the grace of God, we will see if we can complete this book. And one of the things that we've been looking at yesterday and was this aspect of do not despise prophecy, and where we are supposed to prove all things, we are supposed to test all things, and when we test all things, then we can hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. And the illustration that we gave is that you can think about it that when you eat, you know, fish, or when you take meat that has bones, you would take out the meat and leave out the bones, you know. So you can choose that which is good. You know, many times you would find that, you know, prophecies may come to us, and God has a way of sending people to speak to us. And at times it's things that look unbelievable. You can imagine when God looks at Abraham. And this time, this is a man who is barren. God calls him and says, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, for God to make that a reality to him, he changes his name, because Abram meant exalted father. But then Abraham means father of many nations. Now, there is a rewiring that God started to do in the life of Abram to become Abraham, that even the what he calls himself is what he becomes, and that's what God starts to call him. And even Sarai, her name shall no longer be Sarai but Sarah, because she shall be a mother of many nations. So there is a way that prophecy comes to us, and we say that prophecy is a divinely inspired message from God. When I speak from God, when I speak that God, even just the word of God, that is prophesying, because prophecy starts with the scripture. It starts with what God has revealed to someone, and we say that you can balance it with the witness of the Holy Spirit. That means that whatever someone says, your inner witness, which is the Holy Spirit inside you, is either going to affirm it or deny it. Now, whenever someone starts to give a prophecy, and these signs might be different from everyone else, but there is, you can feel a vexation of the Spirit. That means an anger or like a rejection inside you. Then you will know that there's a high chance that this person is not speaking from God. But many times, whenever God speaks, he will speak in a way that it is so large that even if you think about yourself, it will not make sense. At that very moment, it won't make sense at all. And the, like, you can think about the example of Sarah. When the prophecy came, what did she do? She laughed. Why? Because she's a woman who's 99 years old. She is way past beyond her period of being able to give birth. And then God comes, the three men who come to visit Abraham, and they say, where is Sarai, your wife? By this time, when I come next year, she will have a child. And of course, she laughed. And that is the beauty of God. He always wants to give us good things that make us laugh. You know, when God speaks and releases life to us, there is something that he does that it activates a joy in your heart. And God is saying, do not despise prophecies. Something that really has come from the throne of God, from the mouth of God's servants, and God has spoken it. Do not despise it. But the Bible also gives us the balance where it says, test all things. That means there is a test that you need to submit. There's a test of the Word of God, does it align to the Word of God? There's a test of the inner witness of your Holy Spirit. There's a test of the character of the person that is speaking the Word. What is the fruit that their lives bring? There is also a test of, you know, of how clear is it? Is it just someone that is speaking in too much coded? But when the message is coming from God, it needs to be clear. So there are various tests that God gives us to judge even the outcome. Does it come to pass? But we also give a caveat in that whenever God has given a word, there is a way that you must wage war with the prophecies. You don't just sit and say, okay, yeah, God has spoken, it will happen. There is an agreement that you agree with the word. You can cancel things. There are spiritual laws that can make you cancel even what God has declared. You can think about Zechariah when the angel comes and tells him that you're going to have a son. And his name is going to be John. And he asks, how will this be? And he's told, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and you shall be silent. So that means God had to silence him because he is the father. And because his word will have authority over that child. So if that word is not canceled, then that blessing will be canceled. So that is why his mouth had to be shut. So, but we are told to test all things. To wage war with the prophecies, Timothy is told, with the prophecies spoken concerning over you, when the elders laid their hands over them, wage war with them. Yes, we have declared you are a prophet to the nations. Yes, we have declared you are going forward. Yes, we have declared that God is healing you. God is making a way for you. God will increase you. But unless you wage war with them, that means that you agree with them in prayer. You agree with them in your declarations of the word of God. Then there are high chances that you will not experience that word of God. So I'll encourage you to go and listen to that message in detail if you have not listened. And then what does verse 22 say? Abstain from every form of evil. You know, the reality is we cannot play with sin. We cannot play with sin and expect that we shall live okay lives. You know, the challenge with today is about the balance of the doctrine, and many times there are doctrines that have come in that are, when they are not understood, then it results in imbalance. It results in imbalanced people. Now let's read verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 23. The Bible says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, I wanted to narrow down on this verse 23 that says, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, usually whenever we talk about the work of God and what God has done in our lives, there are some big words, or not really big words that come in, but there are some words that you'll hear in theological circles. One of the words that you'll hear is redemption. Now, redemption ideally is the paying back. You know, when someone has been taken as a slave, and for you to bring back that slave, you need and you want to buy their freedom, you'd actually go to the owner and either pay that person back. That means when man sinned and fell short of the glory of God, when Adam sinned, all men sinned. And the Bible says every man has fallen short of the glory of God. Now, for God to bring us back, he has to also exchange life for life. What does that mean? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, God, in his righteous judgment, has already declared that the wages of sin is death. For where there is sin, Adam was told, the day that you shall eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you shall surely die. So the moment we fall into sin, or the moment Adam sinned, then he fell short of the glory of God, and there was need for redemption. Now, what Jesus does is that he comes and does an exchange for us. He comes as a holy sacrifice, one that did not sin, and he exchanges himself in that he takes the burden of our sins, the burden or the judgment that we ourselves should have been punished, and he takes it on himself and he places it on the cross, and every punishment that is supposed to be given for sin is placed on Christ. Now, because it is placed on him, then there is an exchange, and now God is able to see us from the viewpoint of the Christ, from the viewpoint of the sacrifice that Jesus did. So redemption is where we are bought back. Now, when you are redeemed, when you are bought back, then something happens next. Then you are declared righteous. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the right standing before God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So redemption, you are bought back. The price is paid. The price is paid for your sin. The price is paid for your deliverance. The price is paid to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it is done victoriously. But then righteousness is where God looks at you and says that you are holy. So righteousness is actually like a court decision. And know in heaven there is a court of heaven. And what is this court of heaven? The court of heaven is where God sits as a judge. And this is a dimension of God that we see from the scriptures, that God sits as a judge. He judges the affairs of men. Now, when God sits as a judge, we have, of course, someone who is an accuser. Who is the accuser? The accuser is the devil. Now, the Bible tells us that he accuses the brethren before God day and night. So every morning, every night, every moment, the devil is always with a list of sins that you have committed. The list of things, maybe what you thought about, what you did, what you acted. The devil is there with a list of sins. And he is there to bring it before God and say, this is the reason why this person should not be blessed. This is the reason why this person should not move forward. So the devil stays with the list and with all his accusations. That's why he's called the accuser of brethren, because he knows God is a judge. And because what God has said, his word is law. He is bound to his word. So anytime there is an accusation, it is because the devil has found a legal basis for him to bring an accusation against us. Now, when God declares us righteous, is that he has passed a judgment. Think about it. When you have gone to a court and maybe let's say someone murdered someone, but then when they go through the case and they throw out the case, it is possible even for a murderer to be declared not guilty. Now, by the court of law, the prosecution tried its level best to prove beyond reasonable doubt that this person is guilty, but they failed. So that person, despite the sin he has committed, will be called not guilty. So that is righteousness. So righteousness is right standing before God. And righteousness is what allows us to come before God. When you come before God through Christ, you don't come of your own power, because righteousness does not come from ourselves. It comes from what Christ has done. So you come believing, Christ has made me righteous. Christ has made me right before God. I have a judgment before God that I am righteous. That means before God, when he looks at me, he looks at me through the lens of Christ, through the blood of Christ, and through what Christ finished on the cross. So we've looked at redemption. We've looked at righteousness, which is right standing before God, which what God gives us. And this is why we know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means when we stand in Christ Jesus, we are righteous before God. Then the third aspect, which is here, what we are seeing is sanctification. Now, righteousness was given to you as a gift. It's just like someone gave you credit money to your account. Like you just woke up in the morning and you saw an alert of money, a huge amount of money entered your account and you rejoice. You are excited. That's why when you give your life to Jesus, you're so excited. You've received the love of God. You've received the forgiveness of God. You're declared righteous before God in that very moment. If you sin, you're going to, at that very moment, if you die, you're going straight to heaven, and you know you can access every blessing that you need from God. But now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is now being consecrated and being made holy on a continuous basis. Now, that is what we'll call, in a better way, the maintenance of our faith, the maintenance of our salvation before God. Now, sanctification is just like if you are to bathe today, it does not mean that you won't need to bathe tomorrow. Because as we move into the world, there are times we will find some struggles here and there. There are things where we'll find that we have messed up here and there. And we need continually to restore that fellowship before God. Now, our faith in God, our righteousness, is what takes us to heaven. But you see, God maintains us in the state of purity. Now, it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That means that when you are washed, you are cleansed, you are kept holy and righteous, God expects that our sanctification is at the level of the spirit, the whole spirit, at the level of the soul, and at the level of the body. You know, there are these people who argue that, okay, you see, my spirit is saved. And my mind is not yet saved, my soul is not yet saved, my body is not yet saved. So there are people who say, no, God only sees me from my spirit. So for me, it doesn't matter what I do with my body, my spirit is saved, I'm going to heaven, and I can live as I want. And this was the heresy of the agnostics, where they will teach that the body, the physical part, is not important. What matters is just the spirit. So as long as they've given their life to Jesus, they're saved, so their spirits are sanctified, then it doesn't matter what they do with their body. And this is a challenge where people understand the wrong doctrine. But you see, God is after the whole man, because man is a tripartite being. Man has three parts. Man has the spirit, man has the soul, and man has the body. Your spirit is that part that comes from God, the immaterial component that is able to interact with God, and also is the house that in which God comes and mingles with your spirit. The spirit of God comes and mingles with your spirit. And the Bible says that a time will come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. For you to be able to communicate and interact with God, it is because God is spirit. Now, because God is spirit, you can interact with him, then your spirit is sanctified. So your spirit is made alive. Remember, when we fell into sin, we became spiritually dead. But now when you are born again, then you become spiritually alive. That means your spirit is made holy. Then your soul is the seat of your mind, is the seat of your intellect, is the seat of your emotions. So the mind or the soul is that computer that bridges between the spiritual and the physical. Now, if you don't develop your mind, you're not going to be of much use to God. Your mind is where you think, is where you meditate, is where you reason with God. And that's why the Bible is very keen to say that by the renewal of your mind. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, therefore, do not no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove all good things, all the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So there is an action that God wants on your mind. That means that when God is saying, may you be sanctified completely, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not only after your spirit that he has made alive by the Holy Spirit coming to tabernacle in your spirit. God has acted on your spirit. It is when you've given your life to Jesus, you're saved, your spirit is saved. But also your soul, your mind needs to be transformed. Your emotions need to be spirit-controlled emotions. You know, there are people who are just either having fits of rage. It's just they're always angry, or they're just depressed, or they're just, their mindsets are defeated. But you see, there is something that the Word of God does, and that is why, you know, we sit listening to the Word of God. We sit in Bible study. It might look slow, it might look boring, but there is something that God does when he transforms us. The more you hear the Word of God is the more you understand the mind of God. Now, God wants your mind to be brought to the level of his mind, that you know what God would have done, what God would have thought in this very moment. Why? Because as you have read the scriptures, the Logos is like the mind of God, the expressions of God. As you have read the scriptures, you understand his pattern of thinking. For example, when God says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, when you read that word, you will understand that there is a pattern of God that if you are not at the same level, that means at a spiritual level, you cannot interact or go into binding contracts with persons where you don't agree spiritually. For example, or even marriage, it could be a contract of business, it could be marriage. If you're someone is an unbeliever and you are a believer, there is no way that you two should marry. Why? Because you're going to be unequally yoked. Or maybe you're starting a business and you're going into a business with someone who does not have the same faith with you. He's an unbeliever. Now, you want to dedicate your business to God. This unbeliever wants to dedicate the same business that you're doing to an idol. Now, there's going to be a clash of altars. And don't say that, oh, no, that my altar is going to be stronger. No, it's about union. It's about agreement. Now, God is also that our minds be transformed. How do we transform our minds? We transform our minds by hearing the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is a conscious decision to balance what you allow to enter your inner man. Remember, the heart of man is a gate, is a pathway from which all the issues of life flow. That means whatever you allow yourself to hear, whatever emotions you allow yourself to enter, be it in music, be it in teachings, be it in the word, they have the capacity, or even what you're reading, what you're watching, they have the capacity to contaminate you. How does pornography influence people? It's from what they see, or from what they read, or from what they hear. It generates things, it generates lust, and it destroys your capacity to be holy before God. Remember, God wants you to be preserved holy, not only your spirit, which he has done by making you spiritually alive, but also your soul. Now, this is a place where you constantly make a decision. You know what? There are things that I used to watch. There are things that I used to read. There are things that I used to hear. There are people that I need to avoid. You know, there are people that even when you sit and listen to you, they contaminate you. That's the reality, because their wiring, their computer is wired into lust. Their computer is wired into immorality. And the more you hear in it, is the more there are deposits that they deposit in you, because the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That means also the contrary is true. That means unbelief also comes by hearing from the voice of the enemy. So the people, if you're listening to wrong people, there's a very high chance that you're going to end up like them. And you know, the English say, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are, show you your character. So that means our minds, the thinking that we have, you know, there are people who are reading books. Yes, it's human philosophy, but that human philosophy can end you up in the wrong direction. It can end you up in the wrong direction. Now, God says that may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. Now your body is where it says that you put to death the members of your body that are on the earth. There is a passion, there is a thing that you must do by the grace of God. You tell God that, God, I do not want to live in sin anymore. This is why Paul says, I beat my body and I make it my slave, that after I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. That means that you have to get to the point where you say, I say no to sin. Think of Joseph when he was confronted with sin. What did he do? He ran. There was no time to debate. This is the place where you acknowledge and you look at yourself and you know, I have a weakness in this. I will not expose myself in this. God wants your spirit. God wants your soul. God wants your body to be preserved blameless. That means that he is the one that sanctifies us. And what does the Bible say? That it is he who calls you is faithful and will also do it. That means God will do it. God will preserve you. God will keep you righteous. God will keep you holy. God will continually guide you. And that's why the Holy Spirit is inside you. Honestly, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you do something wrong, you're going to know it. And you will know and you will ask God, have mercy. And that disappointment from the Holy Spirit, when you feel it within you, then it is that call to repentance. You know, we are not like Adam who, because he has sinned, he runs away from God, he hides from God. But if you know you have fallen short of the glory of God, you have sinned, it's very easy. The Bible says we can boldly come to the throne of grace. We have a throne of mercy where we can receive the mercy and grace from God. So God is always willing, and he says he will keep you, he will preserve you. He will preserve you at the three levels, at the spirit, the level of your spirit, the level of your soul, at the level of your body. He will keep you blameless, without blameless in his sight. The Bible says, he who calls you is faithful and he will also do it. There is a responsibility that the total man must be kept holy, and God is able to do it. So let us consecrate our bodies. Offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Let us consecrate our mind. Let us avoid all contaminants. If there are things that we know are controlling us, there's a point where you cut it. You take breaks. You know, you can take a break from social media. You can take a break. You can just say, from now onwards, this kind of music I will not listen. This series contaminates me. I don't need to watch it. Take it off. If anything will not cause you to enter heaven, it's better you take it off. I'll stop here. And I pray that God has given us insight and God will give us more grace into it. My brother, you're welcome if you have any reflections.
Thank you, Dr. Margaret. I don't know much addition. We just pray for God's grace to help us, remind us to stay pure and awake to the Spirit of his presence in our lives. I think that's the only prayer that I have. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, thank you. May God help us, and he says he will do it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace that has come to us, O God, that indeed you want us to be preserved in spirit, in soul, in body, and that we shall be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Indeed, we know you're coming at any time, a time when you do not expect it. I pray for the encouragement. I pray for the grace, because you say that you who called us, you are faithful, you shall do it. I thank you for your children this day, as they continue to commit themselves to serve you, to honor you. The Lord, you sanctify them by your blood, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You continue to purify them, O God, that they shall no longer walk in the traps of the enemy, in the difficulties of the enemy. They shall no longer be in bondage to sin. That, Lord, your preservation, your hand of power shall be upon them, watch over them, protect them, cover them with the blood of Jesus. Sanctify Sanctify their minds. Give them your mind, oh God. They have the mind of Christ to know your thoughts, to know what they must do each and every moment. I pray for those that are struggling in the body, that you give them the ability to say no to sin, to put to death the works of the flesh. And day by day, as they get stronger in their faith, stronger in resisting sin, may they experience the grace of God. And I thank you even for your work in our spirits, oh God, that we continue to grow from one level of glory to another. May your spirit continue to work in us, in our hearts, in our inner man, oh God, that we continue to behold you and to be changed into more and more of you. And even for he that does not know you, that even as they take a moment to ask you to cleanse them and to purify them, but Lord, you cleanse them and you purify them. And we declare that as your word has said, they are righteous, they have received it as a gift, and they can stand in right standing before you. I thank you for the redemption that you did on the cross, Jesus, that all our sins were paid for. And indeed, we walk in truth, we walk in life, we walk in holiness. From this day forward, the praise and glory of your holy name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, and thank you for joining in. Shalom. And God bless you and preserve you until we meet again.